We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're talking about who the Holy Spirit is. We've been talking about the different activities and work that the Holy Spirit's involved in. We've been just kind of diving into that, and so we're going to continue that. But I want us to think about this for a minute, about this statement that Jesus makes. He makes this statement in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And I've thought about that for a long time, about how sometimes... Like, I love our church. I don't know about you, but I love our vineyard. I love our family. I love what God's doing here. But you know who loves this church more than I do? Is Jesus, right? And it's his church, and he loves his church. And so he is actively at work building our church. He says that. And so it's got me thinking about this idea of the building blocks of the Spirit, like how the Holy Spirit is actually involved in building our community. He's building his people. And so I've been thinking a lot about that. And what I want to do is I want to spend a few minutes here reading through 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to go through that. And this is what Paul has just done. He's basically just laid out the spiritual gifts that he lists. And these are two verses that are important for us to see as being the context for which he's about to go into about more on the spiritual gifts. He says, "To each of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit so we can help each other. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." So Paul has just said this, and he's also just gave out a list of all the spiritual gifts. And what he's basically saying is that every single human being who is a follower of Jesus has the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and this is what's really cool, he also gifts the church to do works in ministry. And Wes had just hinted at that. One of the values we have at the Vineyard is that everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to play. It doesn't matter what your background is or where you come from. It doesn't matter if you're a follower of Jesus or you're a human being. We have space for you to get engaged in the work of the kingdom. So he said this, and now we're going to read through the rest of the passage. He says, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand,' that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I am not part of the body because I am not an eye,' would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary." And one thing I would like to just say really quick here is one of the things I love about our church, many times of the week, I come in and I find this woman named Patty Stevens here cleaning the church. And she's doing work that's really important. How many of you appreciate a clean church and a clean bathroom, right? Awesome, right? So Patty's actually here. She's right over there. Patty, just wave really quick. We appreciate you so much, right? Yes? You can give her a round of applause again, like, woo, right? So I think sometimes we overlook the value there that's within that area, but it's super important because having clean bathrooms is an evidence of the kingdom coming, all right? All right, moving on. So then Paul goes and says, "And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care, so we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other." Let me say that again. "So that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it." And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. And so what I want us to do for a few minutes here is I want us to dive into this passage of scripture and think and engage with it and how we can live it out. Because I think when we're reading the Bible, and I don't think any of you in this room should be afraid of the Bible. If you are afraid of the Bible, chances are that you might not have a great translation of the Bible, but there's a lot of different Bibles out there. And if you need a Bible, come and talk to myself. We have Bibles up here. We'd love to give you one if you want to start reading the Bible. But if you pick up the Bible and you start reading it, one of the things that we want to do is we want to engage with it, right? And there's times, if you've ever read the Bible, you'll actually read the Bible and it will actually bring conviction to you, right? Has anybody ever had that happen? Where you're reading a passage of scripture and you're like, whoa, we've got to make some changes, right? And not only that, it'll bring conviction, but it'll also challenge some of the ideas that we have or the expectations that we have or things like that. But what's really important to me as a pastor and as someone who loves the Bible and engages with scripture is this. It's not just about knowing what the Bible says or what the Bible said. We also want to know how to apply scripture, right? We want to actually put it into practice because the Bible teaches us that we're not supposed to be just hearers of God's word. We should also be doers of God's word. And so that's really something that I'm passionate about. So let's think about how we can apply 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in these verses and think about how it's supposed to be lived out in the context of our church. Well, this is the first thing that I think Paul makes really clear. The church is diverse, yet it's unified. He acknowledges that the church in Corinth was a very diverse community, and yet it was also unified. And so there's actually, if you look in the passage we just read, you'll notice there's two types of diversities in Corinth that I think are equally applicable here in Red Bluff. And the first type of diversity is this. There were diverse people. Look around you right now. We are not all the same, right? And I hope you would all agree with me, that's a really beautiful thing, right? Can I get an amen to that? Like, it's a beautiful thing that we as a church have diversity. And so what Paul talks about in this passage is that there was ethnic diversity, Gentiles, Jews. There were people from all different regions of the ancient Roman world at that point. There's also cultural diversity. There's generational diversity. There's socioeconomic diversity in this passage. There's a lot of diversity. And I think that's something that Paul is saying was a healthy thing. In fact, all of the churches in the ancient world were diverse communities. So not only is there diversity of people, Paul also says there's diversity in giftings. And in this passage, which is just one of the passages where Paul lists out gifts, and doesn't mean that there's only these gifts, he lays out these gifts. He says there's wisdom, there's knowledge, there's faith, there's gifts of healings that are given, there's miracles. There's prophecy, there is discernment, there is unknown languages. Oftentimes some of us might say speaking in tongues, it's another translation, or there's interpretation of those unknown languages. But the thing is that Paul is saying is that there's diversity of people in the community, but there's also diversity of giftings. And so what I believe with all my heart is that the church is diverse, yet it's also unified. And the way that happens is by the Spirit. And that's the whole point that Paul is making with the analogy and the illustration of human bodies, right? Like the hand isn't the foot, the mouth isn't the ear. There's all these different parts that make up a healthy body. And so as we look at this passage, what we see is that Paul is essentially laying out a really important idea for us as a community within the city of Red Bluff, is that each of us together have gifts from the Spirit. Each of us together. And what's really fascinating is Paul is writing, he actually uses this plural pronoun. Where he's saying you, but he means like you plural. Yous, guys, you gals together collectively form the body of Christ. It's individuals who gather together, and that's what Paul's getting at here. But let's think about this question for a minute. This might be a question that might be new for you, but think about this question. Why do we have spiritual gifts? Like, why are they given to us? Why are we as followers of Jesus, according to the Bible, everybody in here that's a human being has been given gifts from the Holy Spirit? Why do we have them? The first reason that Paul lays out is to build up the church. He says the spiritual gifts have been given to build up the church. And in fact, this is how he says it. He says the manifestation of the Spirit, or spiritual gifts in the context, is given to us so we can help each other. So we can help each other. Let's say that together. So we can help each other. That's why he gives us spiritual gifts. He doesn't give us spiritual gifts so we can sit in our room and be like, I'm so freaking awesome. I have the spiritual gift of whatever it is, right? I mean, like, I don't sit in my room and just preach to myself, right? Like, yeah, you are a terrible human being and you need to change. Like, I don't do that. I come here and do that to you, right? But we don't have spiritual gifts for ourselves. We actually have spiritual gifts to help the body of Christ be the body of Christ. And secondly, he says that we have been given spiritual gifts to have a healthy, whole church. And this is how he says it. The many parts that make up one whole body. And so if we want to be a healthy church, we have to all be operating in our spiritual gifts. And this is a concern that I think that we should talk about. In fact, you know, one of the things that, I really am a big advocate for self-assessment. How many of you realize that self-assessment and self-awareness is actually one step towards health? Anybody agree with that? It's like four of you do, and the rest of you are like, I don't want to know about my soul. Like, I'm good, right? No, but self-awareness is a path and a step forward towards healing, right? Like, if you don't know you're broken, you can't get fixed. Anybody agree with me on that? Right? Like, if you don't know that you've got brokenness or challenges, you just go through life thinking you're okay. But when you start to ask hard questions about how is my soul, how am I doing, how am I healthy, is the way that I engage with other human beings productive and God-honoring and expressing love, when you start asking those questions, you might find out that some of the answers are no. Well, in the same way that we do that with ourselves, we also have to do that as a church. Would you agree with that? Like, we need to ask questions about how we're doing as a church because we really want to be a healthy church. So when I think about this issue, I think about our church, I think one of the things that we need to realize is that in order for us to be a healthy church, we have to have as many people operating in their giftings as is possible. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Like, we actually have to all be engaged in God's mission together. Because there's no possible way that we can carry out our mission and our vision if we're not all engaged. It's just never going to happen. It's essentially what Paul says, is it's a body functioning without all the parts. So we have spiritual gifts to build the church up and also to be a healthy, whole church. So then this is a good question for us to think about, is how does the church's diversity lead to unity? And not only unity, but also health and effectiveness in mission. Because one of the things that I love about our church is that we have a lot of diversity. We have diversity in generations, right? That Wes helpfully pointed out that Larry is the oldest person on the stage. Thank you for that, Wes. Larry was like, hey. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but Larry can still kill it on the guitar, right? I mean, yeah. Like, my favorite, the entire favorite part of worship is when he's like, ugh! It's like, yes. Right, but there's generational diversity, there's also ethnic diversity, and we also are experiencing cultural diversity, and that's a beautiful thing. But the question remains, how does our church's diversity stay united? And I think in our context, let's think of it this way, how does our vineyard's diversity lead to unity and effectiveness and health towards our mission? And this is how I'd answer that question. And I think that this is an important thing for us to engage with for a minute here, is that everyone in this church uses their gifts and abilities to build up and serve in the church, leading us toward knowing Jesus and making him known. And that's why I'm saying all of us together engaged. And so there might be some of you in this room, though, who you might be asking this question. You know, like, you might be wrestling with, okay, I hear what you're saying, Luke, but how do I figure out what to do? How do I figure out where my gifting is? And so here's a couple questions for us just to think about for a minute, okay? First, what are your spiritual gifts? Does anybody in this room have an idea of what spiritual gifts you might have? Is anybody willing to say, yeah, I kind of know what my spiritual gifts are? I am the snarkiest person in the universe, and I should be on your Facebook account. Anybody willing to say that? No. Write her name down and say no. Right? But some of you might know what your spiritual gifts are. Right? And so the natural thing is, well, okay, let's get engaged with your spiritual gifts. But here are some other questions that might help you figure this thing out. What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? Whatever you're passionate about, we want to be really intentional here at the Vineyard to get you engaged in a way to serve. What abilities do you have? I think that's a great question. And what type of personality do you have? I'll never forget, I was pastoring in Wisconsin, this lady walked up to me one time and she essentially said this. She said, and this is exactly how she said, I'd really like to be a part of the hospitality team. I would like to welcome people to our church. And I was like, are you kidding? Like, really? And she's like, no, I'm dead serious. And honestly, that is how she would welcome people to the door. Welcome to our church. Really glad you're here. Really glad. And it was really obvious after watching that happen that that just wasn't really her thing, right? She'd be great in a sound booth. Just kidding, Matt and Jennifer Torres. Right? But she just wasn't wired in a way that was actually something she was passionate. She wasn't really passionate about. She was just trying to find a place to fill in, which awesome. But what are you passionate about? What is your personality type? If you love people, then let's find a space for you to engage with people. If you love kids, we have a lot of opportunities for that, right? And so another thing is, what life experience do you have? If you have experience, I just want you to know that your experience matters to us here at the Vineyard. And that's what Paul is getting at. Paul is getting at, what is your gifting? How have you been shaped? What is your experience? What abilities do you bring to the table? How can we get you engaged in the church? And this matters for us here at the Vineyard because each of us together have gifts from the Spirit. Each of us, every single person in this room who is a follower of Jesus. Now here's the real issue that this brings up for us as a church, is if we stare hard at the Bible, and some of you in here might be new to the Bible and some of you read the Bible a lot, but if you pick this book up and you spend time staring at it and you engage in prayer and you're actively pursuing the presence and power of God and you want to know him deeply, this is what you see, is that the Spirit, not to mention Jesus, points us outward. The Holy Spirit points us outward. That's why I always say, as a church, we are always going to lean just a little bit towards God's mission. That's why we exist. How many of you believe that with me? That we exist as a church for the world around us? Anybody agree with me? Like, that is an essential thing for us to realize. In fact, you know, this week we had a tragedy happen in our community. And we all probably know about this, but there's a little boy who has not been found yet, right? And so there's been talk about how can we engage. In fact, so yesterday someone calls me, and they just, from our church, and said, "Hey, Luke, I don't know if you know, but there's been this tragedy, and there's got to be a way that we can get engaged as a church." And I said, "That's absolutely true." And I was telling her, I said, "Well, one thing I've learned is that oftentimes when tragedies happen, what happens is the community will gather around that person immediately, right? And there's a lot of support for the first week, second week, third week, month. But then after about a month, it actually starts to die down." And I said, "You know what would be really, really cool is what I've observed is that they've got a lot of things going on right now. But in about a month, I bet you we can probably start asking some questions about how we can be engaged with that, okay?" And so the lady was telling me, though, she was saying, "You know, one of the things to realize is that these people are connected to our church. They used to attend our church." And I told her, I said, "You know what? It doesn't matter if these people go to our church or not, right? Because what we exist for as a church is for people outside of the church. Like, that's why we gather together. That's why we exist. Amen? Like, we're going to help people out regardless of whether they attend this church. All right? You guys good with that? Three of you are totally convinced. That is super encouraging. Four of you. All right. So we exist for that purpose, and that's a question that I want us to wrestle with just for a few minutes here. Why does the church exist? Why does our church exist? This is the way that I love articulating it. I love saying that the church is the only organization that exists for the sake of those who are not yet members. We're the only organization that exists not for ourselves, but for the world around us. Now, I want to nerd out for just a couple minutes here. One of my favorite theologians is named Karl Barth, and he says this. He is my homeboy. He says this. This is the way he articulates this reality. He says, "The Christian community is not sent into the world haphazardly or at random." Okay, we're not haphazardly put together, and it's not random chance that you're here. He says, "But with a very definite task. It does not exist before its task and later acquire it, nor does it exist apart from it, so that there can be no question whether or not it might have or execute it. The church exists for the world." We exist for the world. Another theologian named Clark Pinnock, he says this. He says, "The church filled with the Spirit is agent of God's coming kingdom and sacrament for the world." Now, sacrament meaning means of grace. We are a means of grace for the world. He said, "God touches the world when the church speaks the truth." Listen to that. "God touches the world when the church speaks the truth, proclaims good news, performs Jesus' actions, identifies with pain, builds community, shares and forgives. Mission is a Spirit event. It is God's mission, not ours." Now, if a guy who looks like that says that, I'm just going to take note, right? And I just wanted you to know that he wanted to say hello to you. It's so nice to meet you. He actually passed away a few years ago, but he would love you anyway. But then he goes on to say this, and this is profoundly powerful for us this morning. He says, God did not pour the Spirit out for us to exalt in it as a private benefit. Okay? The purpose was and is to empower witnesses to God's kingdom. God justifies and saves individuals only to give them a vocation in the service of the kingdom. He awakens a knowledge of the truth in people in order to conscript them into the service of mission. God wants a community that, like Jesus, gets caught up in the transformation of the world. The church is the provisional representation of God's call to humanity, and like Jesus, it exists for the world and non-members of the church. And I think this is a powerful reality that we have to realize, is that the Spirit, not to mention Jesus, points us outward. When I was a kid, you know, like I was probably 1.5 when my mom became a follower of Jesus. And so I have been in the church literally my whole entire life. Like I don't remember a day when I was out smoking crack, stealing cars. Okay? That didn't happen. And being serious, didn't happen. Like I didn't have that testimony that other friends of mine had, and I was like, dang it. This is what happened though. When I was growing up, at the age of 16, I pretty much assumed that the reason why the church existed was for my own needs. And so like my whole approach to church was as a consumer. Like when I went, it was all about meeting my needs. Like if I go to church, they better have the right music I like, or they better do the ministries I like, or they better have coffee. And seriously, we better have coffee, right? Like let's just be honest, right? But that was my approach to church, was that it was all about my needs. And I was approaching church as a consumer. And as I started engaging, though, in Scripture and actually encountering God, what I found out is that God loves the world and that God actually designed it so that the people who make up the church would actually be empowered by the Holy Spirit to make a difference in the world around them. Like, that's actually why he calls the church to be the church, is so that we could actually make a difference in the world around us. It's a powerful transition in my life. And so here's kind of what I'm getting at, and we'll close with this. Is that our life in the Spirit is guided by two things here at the Vineyard. Like, and that's what we're talking about really, is how can we be people of the Spirit? How many of you want to be people of the Spirit? It's a good thing, right? It's about being people of God's Spirit. So what we are being guided by is two things. And the first thing is our mission. And our mission, let's read it together, is knowing Jesus and making him known. That is why we exist. That's why we exist. That's why we gather together. That's why we do any of the things that we do here, is to know Jesus and make him known. But also it's guided by this vision. And this vision is something that is almost scary, but it's something that I really deeply believe God has called us to do here at the Vineyard. And it's this. We are called to change the world, beginning here, starting here in Red Bluff. Like, I just think that. I don't know why. I don't know why God has sought fit to actually wire us and shape us and give us opportunities to do that, but I think that's going to happen here. I think that's what he's inviting us into, is to be able to participate in what he's doing all over the world. Let's stand up together. So, essentially what Paul's getting at here, if we're going to think about application, is he's essentially saying this to us. He's saying that you guys have gifts, okay? Everybody in here is a follower of Jesus, has gifts. Use them. Get engaged. Get engaged in utilizing your gifts. Because here's this crucial reality that we see throughout all of the Bible, is that we carry out God's mission and vision as each of us serve with the gifts God has given us. And I think it's a beautiful thing that God would actually tell us that, especially in the context of Paul's getting at, is that some of you in this room, you aren't gifted and wired to get on stage and to pray for people and, you know, give prophecies and get them all healed. Because if you were, you'd be up here probably, right? It might not be the way you're wired. But some of you in this room have been given the gift of mercy, or you've been given the gift of servanthood, and you just need to know that there's opportunities. Well, let me just tell you this right now. At the Vineyard here, when we assess our community, there are so many opportunities we have. There's a lot of opportunities for all of us to get engaged in serving towards something. And that is the challenge that I think we have to buy into as a community, is that we're serving towards something. It's not ourselves, it's serving towards something that's greater than ourselves. And that very thing is the kingdom of God. We're serving towards seeing people experience and encountering the love of God. And so I'm going to invite Dan to come on up here, and we're going to pray for just a few minutes here. I think Dan's up here. Yeah, there he is. And we're engaged, but this is really kind of what I've learned over the years is this, is that when I was 16 years old, I was going to this youth group, going to church, and there was this really cute girl in our youth group that decided to go on this mission trip to Chicago, and then I instantly got a call from God to also go to Chicago with her. And I was like, what a coincidence, God, right? And so we went to Chicago, and by the way, thank God you don't always marry the people that you had a crush on, right? Anybody want to say amen to that? Thank you. I know I'm like, thank you, God. I love Dawn. So anyway, we're in Chicago, and we're doing this mission trip, and the whole deal was that we went down there, we did a bunch of fun stuff, and we're also going to do a bunch of stuff that was ministering to the poor. So anyway, our first thing we do is we go to this museum, and you know, we're a bunch of, there's probably 25 of us, and you know, we're all down at this museum, and one of my friends is like, hey, I forgot my camera, I gotta go out to the car and get it to the van. And so he goes out to the two vans we had, and he comes back and he's like, our vans are gone. And so are the trailers that we had with all of our stuff. And I'm freaking out, because I was like, I just bought a pair of Jordans. Those are, you know, it's $100, you know? And I'm freaking out, like, oh man, I have, the only thing I had with me was the clothes I had on me. That was my clothing. Like, I'm in here for a week. And so this is what happens. By the third day, I'm serving soup for some homeless people and handing it out. And this homeless guy walks up to us and he's like, hey, I heard about what happened, you know, and I just wanted to help out. And he hands me this bag that was full of clothes. And it was in that space that I learned this reality, and this is a powerful reality, is that it's in the space of serving that God shapes us. God changes us. And so if you're in this room right now and you're saying, hey, I would like to have more of God's presence, I would like to be conformed more to God's image, I would like to be growing spiritually, let me just tell you, one of the quickest ways to grow is to serve. It is in the space of serving that God, by His Spirit, shapes us and forms us and works in our lives. And so if you haven't yet engaged in a place here at the Vineyard, or you're looking for opportunities in the community, please talk to myself or one of the other pastors. We would love to talk to you about opportunities we have where you can utilize your giftings, your experience, your abilities, the way that God's wired you in a positive way for the kingdom. But let's pray right now. I want to pray for two things. First of all, we're going to pray right now for the situation that's at work here in Red Bluff, where there's this little boy that hasn't been found yet. I think we're going to pray for that. And Heidi Ackley just in the first service reminded us, like we should pray that he is found. We should pray for a miracle. We should pray. So let's pray about that. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we would ask for a miracle. We would ask for all of the things that are needed in this situation. We'd ask for peace. We'd ask for your presence, for your comfort. I pray that you would raise up people all over the community, as you have been, to be able to help and to search and to pray more and more, God. As Heidi said this morning, your word tells us that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is indwelling in each one of your people. And so we would pray for that right now. I pray for comfort for the family and friends, God. I pray right now that if there are people in this room that are having ideas pop off in their mind about how they could participate in loving on that family and that group of friends that are part of our community, they are us, Lord. I pray that you would empower them and move them to just get up and do something, God. Show us as a church, Lord, in the coming weeks and days, weeks, months, whatever it is, God, that we could be a blessing to. And we pray that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we also, as we are standing here and inviting your Holy Spirit to engage with our hearts and our minds, and as we're thinking about not just being hearers of God's word, but we want to be doers, applying it, Father, I would pray right now that as we're standing and we're engaged with you and inviting you to speak to us, that right now, for those of us who maybe aren't quite sure what our giftings are or aren't quite sure how we could serve in this community, that right now your Holy Spirit would actually give us visions and ideas and thoughts that we could put into practice, God. Lord, whether it's things like serving in the coffee or serving with kids or greeting or using our musical talents, Lord, whatever gifts and abilities we have been given by you, God, would you please help us to engage in those things, Lord. And just with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed for a minute here, I just think that maybe we could apply something Michelle was hinting at earlier, is that sometimes our fears keep us from actually moving forward and taking steps of faith when it comes to engaging in God's mission. And so I don't know about everybody's history in this room. I know some of you might be a little hesitant to get involved in serving in some way because at some point in your life you did that and you got burned. Maybe the team wasn't very grateful for you. You weren't cared for. Maybe you felt like all you were was a commodity for the church and you were just being used to accomplish a purpose and you weren't being cared for, and it's actually kept you from being willing to do that. And so now you've developed like a little bit of hesitancy, or some of you are just like, oh, God couldn't use me. Or maybe you're just afraid of the reality of engaging with other people. And I just want to pray for you. And so if that's you, if that connects with anything that you're maybe experiencing in your mind right now, and you would like to receive prayer, you can in your heart just say, God, I want to identify with the prayer that's about to happen. Or you could even lift your hands up as a sign saying, yes, God. You can do whatever you want right now, but I'm going to pray for you. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person in this room that has felt fear or intimidation or who has maybe even been used in the past, I pray in the name of Jesus for healing to come right now. I pray, Lord, that you would bring healing and that you would empower these people with your Holy Spirit and that they would be able to be a part of what you're doing in this church community, and more importantly, a part of what you're doing in the city that surrounds us. And I pray this in the wonderful, beautiful, blessed name of Jesus. Amen. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday at 9 or 11.